This morning, I'm going to be sharing from Genesis, somewhat from Genesis, the first couple books of Genesis. I'm going to be sharing a lot along the lines of my Sunday school lesson, so you'll kind of have to go with that. That's where I was studying this week, and Randy being sick with COVID and not able to be here. So we're going to go. And there's lots of good lessons there, and kind of the thoughts here of what we're going to have is it's going to be on Noah. And I was amazed this morning as we worshiped the Lord together. I thought, it's such a picture of what we have in salvation in Jesus. It's Noah and the ark and God's judgment and where it happened. And it's such it just reminded me again of God's grace and God's plan of salvation. And even when things look dark, God's plan was not thwarted. God had a plan. And that plan was mentioned back in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, how the seed of the woman was going to crush that serpent's head. He was going to give him a death blow. But there was redemption coming through a Savior. And through this ark, and through, it's a picture of salvation, but it preserved that line where the Savior would come and where men could be redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at Noah. We're going to look at Noah and who he was, his character a bit, and also God's sure judgment on the world and God's provision for redemption and salvation for those who will trust him. So that's kind of where we're going this morning. The story of Noah's Ark, we call it Noah's Ark, is under attack, has been under attack for decades and really in the last number of years really under attack. As many would say, this was a fable, a story that's just, it's not true. But this story is a true story. It happened. And what confidence do I have in saying that? There's a couple things we have in saying that. One is it is recorded in the Word of God, so that gives me great confidence that it's true. Also, Jesus himself talks about this time, Noah's Day, and we'll look at that a little later on. He talks about it as a true story. He says, just like in those days, it's going to be in the last days, the same way. And we see Peter talking about it, and I really believe that it's under attack because the whole story of Noah's Ark and what happened there was God brought judgment on sin, and man does not like that. And so they avoid that conversation, look for different areas where that's not going to happen. And if the truth were, and the truth is, that God brought judgment on sin back in that day, the Bible tells us it's going to happen again, and we can be sure of it. It's going to happen again. And what do we do to prepare for that and be ready for that? So that's kind of where we're going this morning. I'm going to ask you to turn to Genesis chapter 4. We're going to read a few verses there. And just want to bring out a few thoughts here from Genesis chapter 4 and the first verses of chapter 5. Let's just pray together before we read. Father in heaven, we just ask that your word would speak to our hearts this morning and that you would just minister to us where we're at. So we just ask your help and blessing and that as we leave here, we could just thank you and rejoice in you. So we ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 25. It says, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and called his name Seth. For God, she said, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. We'll just stop there for a second. I think Garrett spoke a couple weeks ago on this, Cain and Abel, and how Cain slew Abel. And when Eve conceived and bore this son called Seth, she said, God's given me another seed instead of Abel. Let's pay attention to what's said here. And to Seth, to him also, there was born a son. So Seth had a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began man to call on the name of the Lord. In chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. Okay, so that gives us the background a bit of Seth and when he came. So we see here that Seth was the one that actually replaced Abel. He was given in place of Abel. And Seth, we know through Scripture, is the line that our Messiah comes through. It's the godly line. When we look through Genesis and through the book, the accounts here of these names, of this godly line, it's going to give us this godly line and how it kind of goes along here. You see nothing of their earthly accomplishments. Their focus was on the Lord. Their focus was more so on the things of God. We see Cain's side, they did all kinds of stuff. There was cities built and this, that, and the other. Their focus was on worldly things. I think there's a big lesson we can learn there, just to know where our focus is, and hopefully we'll talk about that a bit as well. All right, we want to go start in at verse 21 of chapter 5 now. I find this amazing when you really stop to think about it. It says in verse 21, Enoch, so it goes through a number of generations here that were born in this godly line of Seth. And it says in verse 21, and Enoch lived 65 years, and he begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God, and after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years, and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. He called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So you wonder, why do you read those names for and those length of life for? You know, what's it there for? But I was interested in this in the sense, I want to bring up the thought of, if you put the math together and do the numbers, and you can maybe have it in the back of your Bible, the timeline, the charts, and all that sort of stuff, Lamech would have known, could have known Adam. Adam was still alive when Lamech, that's Noah's father, was alive. So these guys would have had firsthand accounts of what's going on. Methuselah, if you do the math, he did not die till the year of the flood. No one knew him. So there would have been these firsthand accounts of what had happened, what God had done, how sin had come into the world. It would have been all there. They would have been firsthand. Like, they could talk to the guy. Like, well, how did it happen? What happened? They knew what was going on. And I think that's a fascinating fact, that they knew what was going on. And it was a firsthand account with these people. Now, interesting, Lamech, that's Noah's dad, he died 5 years before the flood. And again, as I said, Methuselah was the year of the flood when he died. So that's interesting. Now, when Noah was born, Lamech said, the same shall comfort us in verse 29 concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord's cursed. I'm not sure how Lamech knew these things or how he had a connection there, but it almost looks like he knew something was coming. And he said, this is a guy that God's going to use here to give, as it were, the earth a rest from the curse that we have upon us. And it came through the flood. I don't know how much he grasped, how much he knew, but somehow he knew something, so that's how he named him, Noah. Noah means rest or comfort, his name. All right, let's read on here. And I was going to skip the first four verses of chapter 6 of Genesis, but we're going to read them anyways. I'm not going to comment on them a lot, but I'm going to read them. And it says in verse 1, and it came to pass when men began to multiply in the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives, all of them which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with men, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. Now, just briefly, I'm not going to focus a lot on those verses this morning. There's a different ways of interpreting them and thinking about them. It's just, we see here that there was judgment coming in verse 3, that there was 120 years is what the lifespan was going to be. And it says in verse 5 that God saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts and the hearts of his hearts was evil continually. And we see the devastation of sin and what it brought into the world here. And it didn't take that many years to really show itself. And I was, again, reminded this morning as we sat at the Lord's table and thought on our Savior, and Nelson read from Romans there how, we know it. We're there. We're it's in us, right? We're born sinners. And we're born sinners by nature, but we also practice it too. We sin. We fall short of God's glory. And it says in verse 6 here that it repented the Lord that he had made men on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And I don't often grasp this, but sin, it grieves the Lord. It hurts the Lord. He is holy, holy, holy. And so I think, well, whatever. But no, that's not whatever. It grieves our Lord. I'm talking here as Joseph, as he was faced with Potiphar's wife seducing him, and he could have succumbed to that temptation, but he said, you know, how can I do this sin against the Lord? It was, his heart was there that this would grieve the Lord. I can't do that. This is not what the Lord would have. But the Lord saw what was going on, and it grieved his heart. It grieved him deeply. And then it says in verse 8 that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now I'm going to read right through here to the end of the chapter. But Noah found... Actually, I'm going to back up a verse because I didn't read that, I don't think. And the Lord, verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just and perfect, a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all the flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch, and this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. Make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee I will establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shall thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. And in verse 22 it says, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Now, these portions of verses I just read here probably was at least 100 years, could have been 120 years of things that happened here. This is when Noah builds the ark. This is when Noah just does it. And the first thing I want to look at here is that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And as we ponder again on what the Lord's done for us, you think of God's amazing grace, his unmerited favor shown to us. Noah was, he wasn't perfect. He had his faults. He wasn't sinless. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And it talks about Noah's character here a little bit, and we want to look at that. We think of grace in our lives as well. We think of grace, saving grace, the unmerited favor that we have. But we also have grace to live our lives. God empowers us by his grace to do all that he wants us to do and to be all that he wants us to be. If we allow him, his grace, his power works through us to change us. And that's an amazing thought when we think about it, that God wants to work in our lives and to change us and to make us more like his son. It's God's grace. It's God's work in our lives. And it's good to recognize that and be willing to walk with the Lord in that. All right, what type of man was Noah? In verse 9, we see here it mentions three things. It says he was a just man. and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And we can breeze over that pretty quick and think, okay, that's what he was. But we think of someone who's just. Just means to be right or pure. Think about the setting here again in Noah's day. It was evil. And the verses described it, how, you know, their thoughts in verse 5, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and there was violence in the earth. It was a dark, dark time. And I don't think we got to look too far to realize that we're in a dark, dark time right now. It's dark. There's sin abounding. And it's there. But Noah lived in this time. And Noah, it says here, he was a just man. He lived a right and pure life. Do you think that was easy? How do you find it in our dark world today? We need God's help. We do. There's so many things that come at us. It's one who lives godly in an ungodly world. One thing that characterized Noah's day was a spiritual carelessness. There was no thought of God and no thought of what was coming. It was a spiritual carelessness. And we see today, people do not care about spiritual things and what's coming. And, you know, the Bible tells us, and we should probably, we will turn to it. Let's turn to Matthew 24. It was read, Ken Wagler has read these verses a while ago, but we'll read it again here. Matthew 24, Jesus talking here. He's asked a question by his disciples, actually three questions. Let's read it. Matthew 24. He's asked three questions. In verse 3, it says, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, when these things be." That was the first question. "What shall the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" So those are the three questions they asked the Lord. And in verse 36, it says here, in the same chapter, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." So he's answering the question when the Son of Man will come, the end of the age. And the things in themselves weren't wrong. To marry and to give in marriage isn't a wrong thing. And that wasn't, eating and drinking is not a wrong thing. We got to do that too. But the thing was here, there was a spiritual carelessness here. They had no thought for God. It was just about themselves and their own empires and what they were doing. They had no thought of God and walking with him. And it's a sign of the last days. When we think of someone just, we think of someone who lives by faith. It tells us in Galatians chapter 3 that the just will live by faith. A life of faith. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. It brings this out that Noah was a man of faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, it talks there about that. I'll read verse 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." In verse 6 it says there, "But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But Noah found, but by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." A lot in that verse. But we see here that he by faith was warned of God of things not yet seen. If we look back into the book of Genesis, we see that, from my understanding, in chapter 2, it talked about how there was no rain at that time. The earth was watered by a mist. In chapter 2, in verse 5 and 6, it talks about that. It didn't talk about rain. It talked about a mist, how that earth was watered that way. So here God's telling him that there's a flood coming, there's rain coming. And Noah, by faith, believed him. "The God, you said that, I'm going to believe you." We see here that Noah also had a reverence for God. he also prepared. He looked ahead and believed what was said, what was coming. And how we need to live also a life of faith. We need to trust the Lord and walk with him. And how's that look in our lives? What about our lives? Are we living a life of faith? So often I want to see things and not walk by faith. I want to walk by what I can do. But the Lord wants us to walk by faith, to trust him, and to take his word and act upon it. And that can look in a lot of different ways in our lives, but we need to walk by faith and trust the Lord in his word and what he says to us. Not easy always, because our flesh is there. Our flesh wants to have control, but faith is trusting the Lord and walking with him. So Noah was a just man. It also says here that he was perfect in his generations in verse 9 of chapter 6. He was perfect in his generations. He lived, the idea of perfect in his generations is the idea of righteousness. He lived a righteous life. His life was a life of integrity, of soundness, of moral purity. His life was a life of truth, not falsehood. It was without blemish. It almost seems like it points to the inward character of Noah. And I guess I ask the question here as well, where are my inward thoughts and motives? We know our righteousness is only in Jesus Christ. He's the one that makes us righteous. But as we live out that life, are we living a life, a righteous life before him with his help? A life of integrity. A life that's true without blemish. So often in our world today, we want to fit in. We want to go with the flow of the stream of the culture. But the Lord wants us to be different. He wants us to have a pure inward heart. And how does that look in our lives as we go through life? Are we honest in our dealings? Are we true with what we say? Do we cheat one day and next day we're not cheating? Or how does it go in our lives? How do we present ourselves before those we lived before? Noah lived a righteous life. The third thing it says there, that he walked with God. I'm not sure how many times it mentions that, but I think it's only three that I know of that it talks about men that walked with God. To walk with God is a steady, progressive relationship. It's not a casual acquaintance. To walk with God is a steady, progressive relationship. It speaks of endurance. How does that look in my life? Am I walking with God in a steady, progressive relationship? Is my life characterized by that? Think of endurance. He built that ark for probably at least 100 years, maybe 120. That's a long time of slugging. But he believed God. And so he walked by faith, righteously, and he walked with God doing that. It wasn't just a casual thing. It was a purpose, a progressive relationship. Is that happening in my life? How does that happen? How does it happen in my life? What things are happening? What things are going on in my life if that's happening? I think there's a dependence on our Lord as we walk with him. And I'm learning that more and more, to look to the Lord and depend on him. I'm still learning that. And sometimes I think, I got it now. And then finally, no, I don't have it. To depend on him, to have a heart of thankfulness, to have a heart of care for one another, not only the believers in the Lord, but those outside of Christ, to walk in a new life that the Lord's given me, to trust him, to walk with him that way, to be in his word, to know what he wants for my life, to, again, in dependence, pray to him and look to him, Lord, I don't understand it. I don't like it, but I'm going to trust you in it, whatever it might be. I believe that's part of that walking with God, just having him involved in my life, allowing him to be involved. He's there. He wants to be involved, but to purposely allow him to be involved in my life. And I trust that as we live our lives, that we would live that life of walking with God, endurance. And even though there's ups and downs and hard circumstances, and there was scoffers in his day, that we would do that by his grace. I was thinking, just if we think of life of faith, a just life, a righteous life, and one who walked with God, I was just thinking this morning, I think it was just the idea of, you know, we're all in different places in our life. Some of us are single, some of us are newly married, some of us have busy lives with young families, some of us are midlife, some are grandparents, some are even great-grandparents. You know, we're all at different stages in life. But God, just like Noah here, God wanted to use him, and he wants to use you as well. And we live in the same circumstances, Noah, in a sense, an ungodly world. And no matter where you are right now, God wants to use you. Noah was 500 years old, at least, or around 500 years when he started building that ark, right? Like, you might think, well, I'm retiring. No, there's no retiring in the Lord's work. Maybe refocus, but not retiring. No, we're all, if you're saved, God wants to use you. And perhaps that is, you might think, well, how can God use me? Yeah, he wants to use you. He's gifted you. So look to where God would use you. Maybe it's just a phone call to someone. Maybe it's a meal to someone. Maybe it's just listening ear to someone. Maybe it's coming alongside someone and giving them an encouraging word. Just to encourage them along and say, you know what, I get it. We're in the same spot here, you know. I get it. I don't have it all together either, but let's keep looking to the Lord. And perhaps you can be that friend, that one that comes alongside and just encourages. Perhaps as a parent, you realize, man, it's driving up the wall sometimes. These kids, they got energy to boot. But it's going to pass, you know, that they're going to grow up. But take that opportunity to build into their lives. That say, you know what, we're in an ungodly world, but look to the Lord and be real in their lives so they see the realness of God working in your life and flowing through you. Be real to them. Point them in the ways of God. Take time to read the God's word to them. Take time to pray with them. Let them see the realness in your life. Maybe you're a grandparent. Man, those little rascals, they can go. You just see them run and go, and they, wow, they got energy. But take the time to be a grandparent. Build in their lives if you can. To minister to them. To be open to what God's doing in your life. Let them see it. Let them see it. And I really think that's the idea here of living a just and righteous and a walk with God is being open and letting God work through you. And being real in your Christian walk and letting others see that. Noah had a tough time. I'm sure he did. Like, he was going against the flow of that guy. And for over 100 years, he built that ark. And I'm sure a lot of people thought he was off the tracks or whatever you want to call it. Like, he wasn't tracking quite right. But it didn't matter. And often that does matter in our lives. We think, what do people think of that? But it doesn't matter. It's what God thinks is what matters. And he kept going on. He had endurance and went on. And I want to turn to 2 Peter. As he went on, he just didn't build the ark. 2 Peter, it talks about this here. And he did something else when he built that ark. And he did it with his words and I'm sure with his actions as well. 2 Peter chapter 3. It says there, talking about the last days in our time, it says, knowing this, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. So that this is describing our day here. They're saying, okay, yeah, sure. Well, you're talking about the Lord's judgment coming on sin and that this world's going to be judged. Yeah, right. Everything's carried on the same way as far as we can remember. But in verse 5 it says, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that was then, being overflowed with water, perished. So he refers back to the flood. He said, it happened once, it's going to happen again. If God does it once, and he says he's going to do it again, it's going to happen again. Now, not the flood, but what's coming here. It says, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. There's going to be judgment coming, and the word of God tells us that. And if it came in the days of Noah, it will come again sometime. We don't know when that is. We see outside of Matthew 24, but it's coming. And as we look at our day and age, probably sooner than later, it's coming. So let's that be a challenge to us as well, realizing that we wouldn't be spiritually careless with our lives, but we would realize, Lord, I want my life to count. I don't know how long I have. We don't know how long we're here. We know there's trouble coming. There's going to be perilous times come, but Lord, I want to trust you. And I want our lives to count. So help me. I want to depend on you. And that's the challenge I receive from this. Now let's look on to what happened here. In verse, back in Genesis, the judgment came. In Genesis chapter 7, I'm just going to start in at, because of time, in verse 13, in the self same day, entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. We backed up here. Noah was 600 years old. This flood happened in the second month of the 17th day of Noah's life. And it says, they and every beast, in verse 14, after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went into the unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, and God, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. And I just want to just deal a little bit about the ark and the tremendous picture of salvation that it is in our lives and what it provided for Noah there. It says there that Noah was sealed into the ark. God shut him in. It was the Lord that shut him in. So the animals came in. Noah was in. His wife, his sons, and their wives were in there. And the Lord shut him in. We see there that there's one door of entry. One door. We see that also in faith in Christ, there's one way to enter. There's not many ways to God. There is one way. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That might sound narrow-minded. It does sound narrow-minded. But that's what God's word says. I am the way, Jesus said, the truth and the life. There is no other way. He is the way to those that are lost. He is the truth to those that are deceived. He is the life to those who are dead. And we see those areas all in our lives. We were lost. We were deceived. We were dead. And through Jesus Christ, we've been given redemption. We've been given new life in him. Praise God. We need to be thankful for that. There was one way. In the ark, there was one door. The ark. Let's go back. Everyone inside that ark was safe. Everyone inside of Christ, everyone who's in Christ, is safe, saved. But that ark bore the judgment. That ark was, in a sense, baptized in that water. There was water underneath it. The rain came over it. It was just in that water. And it took the judgment that earth received at that time. Everyone outside that ark perished. Anyone inside was saved alive. And that ark is a picture of Christ. He talks about it in 1 Peter, how it's like a, he talks about how that ark was the one that saved them, but Christ was baptized. It's baptism. Well, let's read it. It can be a difficult verse, but let's read it, because it can bring out some really, it brings out the comparison just clear. 1 Peter chapter 3. In verse 20, it says, which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah when the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. So it talks about that ark and how it was, how those inside were saved from the wrath that came there. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Now we might look at that and think, ooh, that's not our doctrine. And it's, and in a sense, it's not. When we think of baptism, we think of water baptism, someone who believes in Jesus Christ and is identified with Christ. But that's not what this is speaking of. Baptism, the word actually means to be immersed. So it talks here, it says here, the like figure whereunto even the immersion doth also now save us. And it goes on to say it's not water baptism, because it says, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So he's talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we turn to Luke chapter 12 and verse 50. We're going to see what baptism, I believe, that he was talking about there. Luke 12 and verse 50, it says, this is Jesus speaking. He says, but I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? And if we read the passage there and what's going on, he's talking about his death and how he was going to be, as it were, baptized with the wrath of God for us, and we were safe in him. And it brings that picture out of that ark, that we are safe in Christ and how Christ is the ark, and he bore the judgment for us. I trust if you're here this morning that you've placed your trust in Christ, that you are in Christ and resting in the work that he's done for you. And I think pretty well everyone here, if you are resting in that work, that we would not be spiritually careless in the days that we live in, but we would be challenged in our walk with God to make our lives count, no matter where we're at, no matter where, what circumstance of life we're at, no matter what age we're at, that we would allow the Lord to work through us, that we would live a life of faith, a just life, a life of righteousness, the inward purity, with the Lord's help, and a life of endurance, that we'd walk with God day by day. And so may that challenge us. And as you think on the ark and know on the ark, may it also just encourage your hearts. Lord, your word's true. There is judgment coming, but Lord, thank you that I'm in you. And that should challenge us, I believe, as well, to be salt and light in our world today when we know it's coming. And we know it's coming, that God's going to judge this world, that we need to care for those outside of Christ. And Noah preached for over 100 years with his words and with his actions. And may we as well, not only with our actions, but with our words, when the Lord gives opportunity, have strength by his grace to share what he's done in our lives, just to witness, just to share. This is what's happened to me, and I'm thankful for it. So may that challenge us this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your word, and just pray that you'd use your word to speak to our hearts. You know where we're at. You know the things that we need to be challenged in, and we just commit that to you and ask for your blessing, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.